Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We are always glad when you join us here. And if you'd like to join our conversations as they happen, feel free to jump in. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, our local number is 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The number gets repeated fairly often, the figure on American prison population. Roughly 2.4 million people are locked up in the country. The assumption is often made that most of the inmates are men, and that is true. But that still means more than 200,000 women are serving prison time, and some of them have children waiting for them outside the prison. Not directly, but metaphorically, you understand. It is for those situations that the Girl Scouts of America assembled its Girl Scouts Beyond Bars program. The program includes an Oregon component focused on a prison in the Portland metro area. We have two guests with us from the Girl Scouts. Cassandra Ross is the program coordinator for Girl Scouts Beyond Bars for Oregon and Southwest Washington. Cassandra, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Good morning.
Sarah Miller is with us as well. She's the communications director for the Girl Scouts in Oregon and Southwest Washington. Sarah, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
So, Cassandra, let's start with you. Do most people serving, most of the women serving time in state prisons have kids on the outside?
Yes, that would be more than likely true. About 67% of women who are incarcerated have children outside of the facilities, residing with other family members in foster care, adoptive homes, and such. And, you know, they really are impacted in a big way, all of their children.
Any idea how many children we're talking about altogether here?
Roughly at 1.7 million children throughout the United States are impacted by having a parent who's incarcerated. Locally, we don't have key statistics, but we serve approximately 50 children at any given time throughout the year here in Oregon and Southwest Washington. But there are approximately 1,700 inmates housed at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility.
1,700 inmates at Coffee Creek?
That's correct.
Which is in Wilsonville, right?
In Wilsonville. And approximately 67% of them have children.
Okay. And this is the main Oregon prison for women, Coffee Creek?
It is the only correctional facility in Oregon for women, yes.
All right. So, again, now the program, Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, is a national program, right? Is it present in every state?
It's not in every state. There are approximately 27 councils around the country that host GSBB programs.
And how far back does it go in Oregon, Cassandra? I mean, were you there at the inception of the program within Oregon?
I wish that I was. It started in 1995 through the Attorney General, Ellen Rosenblum, and Girl Scouts of Columbia River Council, which is a legacy council. And we've been going strong ever since. Our partnership formed with Coffee Creek in 1997, which is when GSBB was formed.
All right. You say legacy council. What does that mean?
We used to have different regions of Oregon that represented different parts of the state as different entities, is the best way that I could describe that. And Sarah Miller may have a better answer description for that.
All right. Yeah, Sarah, would you tell us what a legacy council is? I just don't understand the structure of the Girl Scouts here.
Yeah. So previously, there were four Girl Scout councils that served Oregon and Southwest Washington. And in 2008, approximately, nationally, there was a move to combine councils into larger entities serving wider regions to conserve resources, and there was a lot of vying for media attention and resources that were available in the region, and by consolidating, we can use those to the best for girls.
All right, Cassandra Ross, back to you. You are the program coordinator for Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, and how long have you been with the program? You mentioned it's been around since the mid-90s.
I've been with the program for 4 years, and I interned with the program for 2 years during college, so about 6 years now.
So tell us what the program activities are. I mean, obviously, they have to be within the boundaries at Coffee Creek because the inmates can't leave, we'll assume.
Yeah, absolutely. So our program is consistent with a troop pathway that we utilize journeys that were distributed by Girl Scouts USA to blend our materials that are relevant to girls and mothers and the impact of incarceration on their lives. So it could range from a crafting activity to activities that enhance their communication skills and the relationships between mothers and daughters, to learning about the Oregon Humane Society and how to properly take care of animals or to give back to the community. So it's really consistent with the Girl Scout leadership experience. And then we're enhancing the opportunities for mothers to take on leadership opportunities and to develop their skills. So ultimately, as staff, what we're doing is we're coming in, we're working with the mothers to develop all of these concrete skills and program, and then the mothers actually facilitate that with their girls. So it is decided by the moms what we're doing at this current time, and it's taken us a long time to get to that stage, but it really is such a great thing. And, of course, we're developing the courage, confidence, and character of girls through this program in a very unique way beyond the barriers of the bars that bind. And that's kind of like a slogan that we often use. So.
And what's the slogan again?
The barriers that bind, and so it's beyond the barriers that bind.
Got it. Well, the programs that you talk about, though, particularly focused on the mother and trying to develop some skills for them, I mean, those must dovetail with similar programs that are set up by the Department of Corrections of the state of Oregon.
They absolutely do. And we partner and resource refer to those programs. And we all have different scopes of what the work that we do. So, for instance, Girl Scouts serves girls 5 to 18 or K through 12. And there are other programs like the Family Preservation Project that serve kids that are under the age of 5 up to 14, and they're not gender specific. So there's lots of different programs set up with the Department of Corrections that we try to intertwine with and collaborate with on a regular basis. And we have a full-time liaison that we work and partner with on a regular basis.
You just mentioned age ranges, which leads to a question about what's the youngest age for, I guess it would have to be what the age is for joining Girl Scouts, right?
It is, absolutely, 5 to 18. And we serve girls throughout that entire range of ages. So it is, that's another challenge for us, is that a typical troop setting might include girls that are kindergartners and first graders, which are known as daisies in Girl Scouts. We serve all of that age range, and we don't limit who can be a part of our troop, so...
All right, we're talking to Cassandra Ross, the program coordinator for Girl Scouts Beyond Bars in Oregon and Southwest Washington, and Sarah Miller, the communications director for the Girl Scouts in the same region. Girl Scouts Beyond Bars program is the discussion here. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, Jackson or Josephine counties, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Cassandra, as long as you've been with the program, either as the coordinator or as an intern when you were in college, I mean, give us some first impressions from you, what this must have been like to see these girls trying to have a relationship with their mothers while their mothers are in prison.
I think that's a great question. I have a very personal relationship with this program, and it started because I actually had a parent who was incarcerated most of my life. And so it's really a very touching thing, and sometimes a saddening thing, and so it's that wide range of emotions. But ultimately, what's really, really great is you're seeing this really, really difficult impact happening to families all over the country, and the ways in which we're breaking down those barriers. And it does take time, and it doesn't happen all at once at the same time for every single girl. And there are lots of challenges that inherently are linked to all of it. But what we see is that these girls are absolutely dedicated to seeing their mothers, regardless of the situations that have come into their lives, and that the 2.5 hours twice a month that they spend with their mothers are really developing and empowering not just the girls, which is, of course, our main intent, but the mothers to be better human beings in whatever way that they find that successful in their lives. And so that could range from starting out in a very introverted way and very nervous way to now 4 years later being a leader of our group. And I have lots of moms in our program that are in those situations. Girls who never thought they could apply and go to college, who have changed their, you know, educational situations and are getting good grades and are on the honor roll and things like that, to giving back to communities in all different ways, not just through Girl Scouts Beyond Bars. So it is a very touching program. We have lots of really great opportunities for the girls outside of the facility on top of that. And it's honestly kind of like a dream job for me. So I really enjoy it. And it's hard to explain. It's hard to put it into words.
I think you
And honestly, their girls are the best way to get that answer. And we have a video called The Circle is Round, which is available on our website, which we, anybody wants to go view that, it's the best way to kind of hear it firsthand, the impact that it has.
All right, so there are activities then for the Girl Scouts themselves outside of the prison. So it's more than just the 2.5 hours twice a month?
It is more than that. The girls in our program, we want to give them access to Girl Scouting like any other typical girl would have. And so we have activities that they participate in, like our annual Zoo Snooze, which is an overnight guided nighttime safari at the Oregon Zoo. Our girls participate in the annual cookie program each and every year, as do the moms and at the facilities. And they really get an opportunity to do whatever they desire to do in Girl Scouts. So the opportunities are endless.
So, Cassandra, by the time that, girls come to you as part of the Girl Scouts Beyond Bars program, have they already had a chance to see their moms in prison? I mean, I'm just wondering if there's a process that you walk them through to kind of get them ready for that experience, because it can't be an easy one.
You know, what we find is that we walk the guardians through that process so that the guardians, who the girls may feel more comfortable with, can prepare the girls. And so we do train the guardians to prepare the girls for the process, to go through security and to see their moms in the facility. But what we found most of the time is that these girls have already been to visit their families. There are certain cases where that isn't possible. Usually that's girls who reside, you know, more than 500 miles away from the facility and don't have access to transportation. But for the most part, that's a conversation we're having with adults and answering any questions that they have, referring them to resources and making sure they feel comfortable.
All right. And so is there a usual run for, I mean, is the membership in the program strictly limited to how long the parent is in prison? Or I mean, do the activities, can mother and daughter stay in Girl Scouts Beyond Bars once there are, in fact, no bars that separate them?
Absolutely. And we, in fact, encourage it. And we have lots of moms that we retain after their release who come back and are able to volunteer for Girl Scouts in a leadership capacity or get involved locally wherever they reside. So, for instance, maybe they live in Medford and they don't have access to get to our local troop up here and continue participating with us. But that doesn't mean that they can't get involved with a local troop. And in fact, we have many girls that continue and do that. And what's great about it is they've developed this relationship and bond through their troop experience within the facility, and that they want to continue it afterwards. So it's an open door for them. They really have the agency to decide and make those decisions together.
Within the bounds of the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility in Wilsonville, are there any, I mean, you mentioned having to go through security. Obviously, that is going to happen every time you bring the group in there. Are there some group activities that have to happen in separate, smaller groups because of different levels of security or anything like that?
You know, we don't ever have to do that, but I would say that based upon age level, there are times when we have breakout sessions for girls and moms so that it's age relevant for girls. If we're talking about subjects that may not be appropriate for a kindergartner but is more appropriate for a teenager, within the same space, which is just the normal visiting room, we may break out into different groups. But other than like a security situation, we've never had to separate out.
Which brings up some questions, though, about when you talk about things that are not necessarily appropriate for the kindergartners. I mean, particularly for girls who are entering their teens and puberty, there are issues that they really have to discuss, you know, ideally best with their moms. Is that part of the scope of what Girl Scouts Beyond Bars offers, that kind of one-on-one time?
So what we do is we allow each family in a very specific way that is cultural to them and their backgrounds to decide what is appropriate to talk about with the girls and what isn't. And then if there's a sensitive subject like, oh, maybe the girls are experiencing bullying in school, that might be more appropriate for teenagers to discuss in a broad, open context with their mothers. But maybe girls that are in kindergarten aren't able to conversate about those things in the same way, or maybe their families don't feel that they're ready to talk about those things openly in a group. And so we allow the mothers to kind of navigate that and make decisions based upon each family context rather than deciding for them.
You mentioned that there are 50 girls altogether, ages 5 to 18. Is that capped by resources?
It's capped based upon the maximum capacity that the facility visiting rooms can hold. And so that 50 girls is what we can have at each visit, split between the two facilities, which is the medium and the minimum facility, so 25 girls per side. And as mothers are releasing, we're consistently taking in new mothers and families.
All right, but is there any talk, any way that you could start a second group then that would perhaps, is there a waiting list, I guess, is the major question.
There's absolutely a waiting list, and there's always a way to have conversations about it. It just is going to be that conversation between partners, which is the facility having the resources available, as well as Girl Scouts having the resources to meet the girl-to-adult ratio and safety needs for expanding our group.
Cassandra Ross, you gave an eloquent description already of your own interest in Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, but for other people who don't have your background and experience, I mean, there must be some really touching moments to see this program at work in Coffee Creek.
Absolutely. It definitely is very touching. I always say it's a life changer for anybody that's going to be involved or wants to know about our program. It really just is something that a lot of us may take for granted, the relationship that you are able to have with your mother that is a consistent thing. And I think a girl says it best in one of our videos, and I use this example often. one of our girls says, you know, my mom is not there to drive me to school in the morning so that we can sing songs on the way in the car. And that's just one prime example of the things that these girls don't get to experience and that they're very cognitive of. But because we're able to break down some of these barriers, they are able to have those relationships face-to-face. And it's not in a normal visitation setting. So in normal visitations, you have to sit on separate sides of the table. You're not allowed to interact in a nurturing mother-daughter way. However, our visits allow that to happen. So mothers are allowed to hug and give piggyback rides and hold hands throughout the visit in a way that is very consistent with a mother-daughter relationship.
And how have negotiations or at least some discussion of guidelines gone with Department of Corrections over the years? Because I can imagine there are guards standing by, but you're trying to get them off into the background, I would think, so they're not quite as present.
Yeah, you know, honestly, our partnership on that level is really a great one. The officers really do kind of remain in the background. There's typically one officer present throughout our entire visit, and they're very flexible and helpful in terms of enabling us to have the space and time and the safety for girls and moms to feel like they can have that relationship with each other without the scrutiny. So it is a rare thing that we have officers intervening, and they do the best that they can. And I think the facility does a good job of preparing those officers to interact with these girls in a very different way than is consistent with the normal structure of the facility and visitation rules.
All right. The program is called Girl Scouts Beyond Bars. You mentioned that video. Where can people find that online?
Sarah can answer.
Page, that's youtube.com/GirlScoutsOSW, and you can also find a link on our homepage, GirlScoutsOSW.org.
Girl Scouts OSW. Okay, we'll make a link to that on our Facebook page later in the day. Sarah Miller is Communications Director for the Girl Scouts for Oregon and Southwest Washington. Cassandra Ross is the Program Coordinator for Girl Scouts Beyond Bars at the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility in Wilsonville. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
You bet. That'll do it for this segment. Garrison Keillor is coming up right now.